The following program is suitable for all audiences.
This is how I want to paint it up. Just cut it loose, ball out, let's put a lot of freaking points up on the board. Let's go. Every day we improve, right?
Yep. Reset, job play. Not done. That's us. Play by play, next play mentality. Gotcha. Love you, bro. Love you.
I want you to take a second to think about everything every one of you gave up to be in this position right here. I don't care what you did, you had to give something else to have this opportunity. So take advantage of it tonight. Play ball like you have it. Here we go.
Come on, boy. Let's eat up, man.
Get it.
Like we talked about earlier this week, it's the opportunity for us to stack this game. Let's go out here and execute and be the playmakers out there. Let's go. Playmakers on three. One, two, three.
Playmakers.
I'm gonna challenge you right now for greatness.
Yes, sir.
You got me?
Yes, sir.
You take this thing over right now.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Trubisky throwing left side of the end zone. Catch is made. Touchdown there.
Attaboy! Attaboy!
Catch is made. Touchdown there.
Attaboy!
Catch is made. Touchdown there.
Attaboy!
A well-executed drive puts the Bears in front.
Barely Seymour.
Thank you all to our listening in live on our Mixlr.com channel. And those of you listening later on our podcast, thank you very much for being here. This is Barrelissimo with George Bayless. My name is Aldo Gandia. I am his sidekick. I sit here and listen in awe to George's football acumen, and he has got a lot to share with us today as we're going to finish talking about Senior Bowl prospects that he scouted and wants to share with us, and we'll also talk about, of course, the Super Bowl and perhaps what lessons Ryan Pace can walk away from that game. And we've got a very special guest that will be joining us for the last 15 to 30 minutes of the show. I'll let George introduce him. But first, let me introduce George. Barrelissimo, how you doing, brother?
I'm very well, Aldo. Don't sell yourself short. You're an integral part of everything at Barroom. Don't sell yourself short. Yeah, I'm good. I'm well. I'm psyched for today's show. I can't wait to speak to our guest, someone who has sacked a Super Bowl quarterback. So it's going to be interesting to speak with him and get to see what he's doing in his preparation for the draft. But obviously, we've got to finish off first the guys that we looked at prior to the Senior Bowl and a couple of guys that weren't on my radar that now are, that definitely performed very well at the Senior Bowl. So I'm excited for the show and I can't wait to get started.
Excellent. Well, how about if we start with the Super Bowl? What were your overall impressions of that dramatic game, come from behind victory for the Kansas City Chiefs, who I guess that's their part of their playbook, is let the opposition start to feel comfortable and then we come back and pulverize them. What were your impressions of the game?
Yeah, I mean, I thought initially it was going to go the way of the San Francisco 49ers. A low-scoring game in the first half was exactly what they needed. And I actually put out there on Twitter before the game started that if it stayed below sort of 55 points is where I put it. I should have put it at 50 in hindsight. But if it stayed below 50 points, then it would likely be San Francisco's game. And it turned out that obviously that they put points on later on the board, and some of that is to do with the fact that San Francisco got away from running the ball in the fourth quarter. I'm sorry if you can hear anything in the background.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, so they got away from running the ball in the fourth quarter, and the problem was that because the running back for the Kansas City Chiefs had a fantastic game, that threat of the run for them was enough to bring the safeties from bracket coverage, because that's what they were running most of the game. Mm. And into the fourth quarter, they were running bracket coverage on Travis Kelce and Tariq Hill. When that running game got going, it forced the safeties to not be able to double both Kelce and Hill. Mm-hmm. And that played then when they started playing a three-high safety look. So basically one high with the cornerbacks going deep into what they call a cover three coverage. I'm sure that most people understand what that is, but those who don't, I'm happy to explain it on Twitter. But when they dropped into cover three from what was basically what they call a bracket two coverage, that really played into Tariq Hill's hands, because he was able to settle in the massive gaps, because obviously they pressed so well, so deep, because of the threat of the speed guys. Mecole Hardman, Tariq Hill are always going to press downfield and cause problems with the coverage, you know, deep. And Mahomes has got the arm to get it there. But until then, Mahomes looked rattled to me. He looked like we haven't seen him before. I mean, the pressure was definitely getting to him, and I think that's going to be a recipe of success for the Bears. And that's what shows with both of these teams. The two things that they have in common is they both have a good D-line and they both have a good O-line. And that really is, so many people put it as just the quarterback or just the receiver or just the tight end. It's really not. You've got to be able to control the line of scrimmage. And if you do, you can get to the Super Bowl and you can excel even if you're struggling early on. And the one thing we do know about Mitch, yes, he's not Patrick Mahomes. He likely never will be Patrick Mahomes. What he does do is he does well under pressure. So if we're able to protect him and to be able to block well up front and give our running game a chance, then we've got a real good chance of repeating some of that success. Whether we get to Super Bowl or not, we'll rely upon things like health and a bit of luck.
Yeah, that was perhaps my biggest takeaway from the game, is that if the Chicago Bears can improve their pass rush and get the perfect complement to Khalil Mack on that other edge rusher position, they can make a dramatic step forward. Not to say that they don't have problems. Clearly, the tight end position is a huge need for that offense. You look at all of the postseason teams, they all had excellent tight end play, good to excellent tight end play. Certainly the two Super Bowl teams did. And you need to strengthen, you know, all of the play at the line of scrimmage, offensive and defensive line. But pass rush, pass rush, pass rush is what I walked away with as the most important thing. And if you want to beat the best team, I think the San Francisco 49ers gave us the blueprint there, is you pass rush Patrick Mahomes and you don't forget to call run plays in the fourth quarter.
I mean, that's the thing that the Bears have traditionally done very well, is to be able to defend the run and make teams one-dimensional. And that's something that even last year, even with all the struggles we had, it was something we were able to do. Now, the pass defense last year wasn't as good as it was mm-hmm. previously, and that's because I think largely we're playing a lot more cover two than we were previously when we had Ha-Ha, because he isn't a box safety, and it meant that Eddie had to come up and play in the box as much as Ha-Ha because of his weaknesses in being able to tackle. So this off-season, I almost see safety as being an integral part as well as tight end. Mm. But for me, the two key pieces is a healthy defensive line. Obviously, it depends whether we re-sign Roy Robertson, Harris, Urban, or the other defensive end, Nick Williams. Which of those three guys we retain, if not all three? Mm-hmm. What do we do at linebacker? And what do we do at safety on the defense? And then the offensive line, it's all about getting that offensive line right for me, first and foremost. And without that, it's going to be difficult to see production from whichever tight end is out there. Although, I think there's a possibility that quarterback, we get a veteran and a draftee. And I also think the same with tight end position. I think those are the two places, as we said in Bellissimo episode one, those are two of the places that we looked at in terms of free agency, that and edge rushing. I think it's probably stronger in free agency for edge rusher than it is in the draft. And I think that's probably the way the Bears are going to go to fix it. But yes, definitely fixable. Yes, we can get to the kind of performance we had when we were 12-4. And I think if we fix the offensive line, I think we'll see a better Mitch Trubisky. Whether it's good enough remains to be seen. But whoever the competition is, we've still got to fix the offensive line anyway. So as long as we do that, I think we are going to be a better team next year. Certainly better than 8-8 is the hope. It would be difficult to see how we could regress further unless Nagy just persists with calling shotgun, sweep, reverse, hitch and trailer. you know, on third and two at the goal line. if he persists with that, we might struggle a bit more than I'm anticipating. But I actually think the arrow's pointed up for the Bears. I think they've made some good coaching hires. And that, for me, moving the ability to move on from people, as was discussed on 100 Proof, which everyone should go and listen to if they get a chance. But that was really encouraging. And I thought, for those who get a chance as well, Kyle Long today on ESPN 1000, he was basically saying it's the big guys up front which make a difference in run and pass. And he was saying that, you know, that's where last year is where we fell down along the whole of that offensive line. He put it squarely on the offensive line for the offensive woes last year, and he should know he was in that room.
Absolutely. What do you think, or what do you hope, Matt Nagy may have learned, should have learned from Andy Reid? Because, you know, all of these coaches and Matt Nagy and his squad of coaches will look at the game tape, not only the Super Bowl, but all of the Kansas City Chiefs games from this past season. What do you hope that Matt Nagy looks at from Andy Reid and has learned so that he's better prepared in his third season as an NFL head coach to do a better job than he did in 2019?
So let's look at the Super Bowl itself. I mean, Mahomes was flustered. He threw two interceptions, could easily have been three. He was throwing behind people. He was throwing too hard to guys short in the flat. He was struggling early on. What got their offense going? Damian Williams. Damian Williams got their offense going by running the ball, using the outside speed, spreading out that defensive line so they couldn't just come at Mahomes. If they're one-dimensional, it means a good defensive line can pin their ears back. They don't have to be concerned about the run. They can literally just go straight after the quarterback and put pressure on him. And Andy Reid adjusted. He went to the run. And he went to the run enough to bring the safeties out of that bracket coverage that we talked about. If Matt Nagy doesn't see that as a call to be able to do what needs to be done to beat the team in front of you, then he really shouldn't be the head coach. I'm hoping he gives more autonomy on play calling to his offensive assistants, be that DeFilippo or be it Laser. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping he gives more autonomy to those guys so he can do the actual head coaching job, which I actually think he's a good motivator of men.
Yes.
And I think if his head isn't too deep in the playbook, he's smart enough and he's got enough acuity and acumen to be able to look at the situation and to make the right calls at the right times. I just think that he's been trying to do too much in a way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, if you try and do too many, it's like spinning plates. If you try to spin too many, they all come down. Mm-hmm. If you stick to what you can do, then you do it well. And I think that's what Nagy going into, you know, into year three, I think that's what he's going to have to look at is, okay, what are we blocking well? What can we run well? What are the variations we can go off that when teams adjust to it? And to go that way rather than trying to force things, which is what I felt last year. We spent too long of the season trying to force what he wanted them to do versus what they could do. You know, the offensive line was banged up. There were I think it was 12 variations on the offensive line. So maybe you stick to the basic stuff that's easy to block. Because with that variation, you know, you're not going to block it perfectly because the guys haven't played consistently together. And that was, I think, part of the problems last year was that maybe he was still trying to run the offense. Mm-hmm. And the problem was that the consistency wasn't there in that team group and so on the offensive line. And I think without an offensive line, any offense struggles. And so I'm hoping that he's seen that, you know, sometimes you have to cut your cloth accordingly. Mm-hmm. You have to run what you guys can run. And if you're having things like that, problems like that on defensive line consistency, you've got to stick to the basics and then work your way out from there. Once that's been done right, you know, don't necessarily need to change it if you don't have to. Mm. So that's what I'm hoping he's learned.
Yeah. Okay. And so let me, from a general manager's perspective, what do you hope that perhaps Ryan Pace, the Bears general manager, has learned from Brett Veach, the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, who, just a little bio on him, he joined the Chiefs in 2013 as a pro and college personnel analyst after spending several years with the Philadelphia Eagles as a coaching intern, coach's assistant, scout. And then he worked his way up the Chiefs ladder to become co-director of player personnel and was hired as general manager in 2017. and now in his third year as GM, would that be fourth year as GM, he is now a Super Bowl champion. What do you hope that perhaps Ryan Pace has, you know, looked at Brett Veach's job and said, you know what, I can do this like him, or I can be better at this, inspired by the KC Chiefs?
What I'm hoping that he does is listen to his coaches in terms of what skill sets they need at the position. So, in other words, to run our schemes, whether it's offense or defense or special teams, what particular attributes and skill sets are we looking at, rather than just looking at the scouts analysis of this player is rated at 91.2, this guy's rated at 67. But you know what? That 67 might have the attributes that you need to run that particular that player group. So if you're looking for an outside linebacker and he's not necessarily great against the run, but he's functional enough, but what he is really good at is getting after the quarterback and putting pressure on offensive tackles, then maybe that lower rated overall player might be better on your board because it suits what the coaches want them to do. And that's what I'm hoping that he learns from Veach, is that it's clear from their drafting and from their free agency decisions that they have taken guys on the board that have masses of pace, high team speed, that have got a history of production. So defense are all hitters. They take the best athletes available, and it's guys who are going to fit the skill sets that the team wants to run, and not putting square pegs into round holes. And that's what I'm hoping that Ryan Pace has learned. And also, not necessarily overdraft because you've fallen in love with a particular prospect, which is a bit of a theme now, I believe, for Ryan Pace, is that, Leonard Floyd we moved up to get, we didn't necessarily need to do it. Trubisky we moved up to get, we didn't necessarily need to do it. Taking Kevin White when there were other options available to us. That one is a bit hindsight dictating that, but that's what I'm hoping that he's learned is okay, we've got names available in free agency, but which ones actually fit us best? So, you might have Tom Brady available, but is he going to run the offense that you want to be able to run? In terms of him being a coach and being able to read defense and being able to throw on time and accurately, great. But is he going to be able to do everything that you need in the offense? And that's what I think we need to do from a player personnel point of view is to look at the skill sets we need and to have that almost with a weighting when you're evaluating prospects. And that's got to dictate them who is the best value guy on your board, not necessarily who's got the best PFF rating.
Okay, well, I hope Ryan Pace is listening. We got a question in the chat room.
I'm available for work, Ryan.
That's right. Consultation fees are negotiable.
Aldo's my agent.
Absolutely. Tuch is writing, perfect example of what George is talking about now on the Chiefs is Pinnell, because the D lineman was killer versus the run. I got to agree with that, without a doubt.
They've definitely. That's one of the things that they did bring in last year was a couple of run pluggers in the middle of that defensive line. They already had Chris Jones, who is one of my favorite defensive linemen. I mean, I'm sure Tuch will probably attest to it. He was one of my defensive linemen in years, and he went in the second round. I would have drafted him in the first round.
That's right.
The same with the 49ers. They've got Arik Armstead, who is a free agent this year, by the way.
Yes, he is.
On the defensive end, they've got DeForest Buckner, both of which for Oregon were absolute monsters. And, those were guys that we could have taken later in drafts. But, it is what it is, and we're going to move forward, and we're obviously looking at now draft season and free agency. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the draft prospects that we've been talking about, that's going to change depending upon which holes we plug in free agency and with what type players. Indeed. It's going to obviously move needs up and down on the board. But equally, the guys that I've been looking at specifically from what I believe to be the skill sets that we need at each position based upon what we've been trying to run.
And Tuch has a question here, which is a little bit outside the parameters of what we plan to talk about. But let me throw it at you. Perhaps you have already given this thought and have a handy answer. He wants to know if the amount of cap resources the Bears have devoted to offensive line precludes them from fixing the line in free agency. And if not, which free agent offensive lineman do you like in free agency for the Chicago Bears?
Well, Tuch, I hope that you listened to Bellissimo episode 1, because we covered off the offensive line and the prospects that I believe that are there. Scherfer at the guard, obviously, is the top of the top of the guards available. Jack Conklin, probably right tackle, the best right tackle available. In terms of left tackles, I think that's where you're going to get value in the second round of the draft. Mm-hmm. And Leno, potentially, with some coaching, might be functional enough to, you know, fill the gap for certainly for a few games. I don't believe that the cap hamstrings us sufficiently to not be able to sign some of the top rated guys, because you can work with bonuses and the way that those bonuses are structured, guaranteed over a number of years, and you can amortize that against the cap so that, you know, the cap hit in year one is not as much as it is in year two. So both of those contracts this year are a significant cap hit if you want to cut them. In fact, Leno's is negative money against the cap, so significantly so, but next year that changes. And if you work the contract so that they are backloaded rather than front-loaded, no, it doesn't preclude you from taking guys that are at the top end of that free agency type market, particularly if we move a few people and get a bit more cap space in terms of what the amount of room we've got this year. We know that every single year it goes up, so you can sort of guesstimate that roughly $10 million a year is going to go onto the cap. We've got a collective bargain agreement, which might change in terms of guaranteed money and things like that into the future. But what we do know is that we can work the contract so that they are more backloaded than front-loaded, which makes this year's of their cap number a lower amount for those guys that we signed. So no, it doesn't preclude us, I believe, from going after some of the better offensive linemen that are available. I think particularly right guard and right tackle are the spots where it's probably a little bit stronger than it would be for left tackle. Left tackle, you always overpay for in free agency.
Yeah, indeed.
So if Conklin is available, he'd be the guy, or the Vitae from the Eagles, which I know that we spoke about in episode one, uh-huh. And Shane has mentioned since on 100 Proof. Those are the two guys that I would certainly look at as being options that the Bears could both afford and would also improve us potentially.
Excellent. All right. Should we turn our attention to Senior Bowl prospects that we ran out of time on our last show that we did not cover? You want to do that now?
Let's do it.
All right. I believe we are covering defensive backs. I believe that is correct. So let's start with the kid from Notre Dame, Tony Pride Jr.
Troy Pride Jr. Yeah, no worries. What we didn't see at the Senior Bowl was what I really wanted to see, and I don't know whether you saw it in practice, 11-on-11s and things like that, but in the game we didn't really see it. What we did see was what his skill sets were. He performed really well in coverage, particularly in man coverage. I believe he got an interception in the game off the top of my head. Yes. I'm not 100% sure on
that.
Yes,
he did.
And he got a bit of a return on it as well. Mm-hmm. He is a good cover corner. We already knew that. What we didn't see was teams running directly at him and running screens to his side, because that's where I haven't seen it yet sufficiently on tape. He seems to avoid contact on things like, you know, where there's a bubble screen to his side, if there's a sweep coming to his side, he seems to avoid contact, and that's the one thing that we didn't really see in the game, and I didn't see from the practice footage that I was able to see online. I don't know whether you were able to witness any of that, sort of whether they ran anything at him in practice and how he particularly took on that contact. But he's an excellent cover corner, which we already know. His stock neither went up nor down for me. He was one of the better cover corners that was available at the Senior Bowl for me, mm-hmm. and he did well. So, yeah, I mean, that's what I saw. I don't know what you saw in those 11-on-11s. Did you see him sort of be physical with any receivers?
I did. You know, he's about 5'11", 195 pounds thereabouts. That's not the official Senior Bowl numbers. I don't have those open in front of me. But I did see a guy who appeared to be capable of being more physical than he did at his games in Notre Dame. I follow Notre Dame fairly closely during the season and was impressed with his play during the season. But I think, like you, was a little concerned about his physicality. Well, at the Senior Bowl practices, he kind of answered those questions for me. I don't really think that's going to be an issue. He's not a plug-and-play corner at this point. I think he's going to need some developmental time, but I do think that of the cornerbacks that I saw down at the Senior Bowl, I was impressed with his play and think that he'd be a worthy mid-round draft pick for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got mid-round value for me. One of the things that I do like about him in coverage is he has that ability. We spoke about David Long last year from Michigan. Mm-hmm. The trait that I really liked about David Long at Michigan last year was when he's in man coverage and he's playing inside leverage. So in other words, he's the boundary corner and he's forcing the receiver towards the sideline. What he did really well, which Troy Pride also does very well, mm-hmm. is he's got what you call vet hands, where you basically have your hand in front of the wide receiver, feeling their body whilst you're looking back for the ball and looking at the quarterback. He does that well. He's good at staying square, dropping. His back pedal is good. He's got nice fluid hips. He turns and reacts to routes almost as well as receivers do. He's just a really good cover corner. Whether he's as good in zone, again, the physicality, I didn't see it. But, yeah, he's definitely a mid-round pick for me.
Excellent. One of the things that I recall, and I can't say I saw this with my two eyes regarding Troy Pride, is some of the people around me were talking about his coverage on Michael Pittman Jr., the big wide receiver.
Six foot four, 220. Yeah.
Exactly. And that he played him really well in practice. And so that's obviously a good sign when he's going up against a fast and physical receiver like Pittman Jr. So
I mean, that's the thing that I'm talking about with the hands, because Pittman Jr. is very good when he's got space to work and then be able to body people. He does have some good feet. He is able to run good routes. But that's what Troy Pride did really well with him, was just have enough interference without getting called for it, but being able to throw someone off the game. Mm-hmm. And that's where his sort of his skill level is.
And so you project him where, anywhere between third to fifth round?
Yeah, day three could be early day three, could be later on day three, depending upon how people see him with regards to scheme fits. But for me, I don't see him as a day two. I see him more as a day three, possibly early on day three.
Tooch describes him as a guy that hates to tackle. Would you go that far?
I don't know whether hate to tackle would be the word, but I think maybe takes business decisions.
Well, that's not the type of player we want on the Chicago Bears.
No, we want guys that are going to come up and smack you in the face. That's Bears players.
That's great. I love it. All right, let's move on.
We've got a couple of those coming now, though.
Yeah, right. Well, let's talk about Kendall Victor.
Yeah. So Kendall Victor, another player that didn't particularly see a lot of tape on. The tape that I did see was against LSU. And against LSU, he played LSU and Alabama and did pretty well against both teams. So he's able to be a cover corner. But he was sort of the big fish in a small pond at his team. And I thought he did really well at the Senior Bowl. I don't know whether you saw him practices. He's off coverage. Isn't as good as his tight coverage. So when he plays press man and he bails with the receiver in a man-to-man responsibility, he plays well there. When he's playing off man, so in other words, he gives them a cushion, he's a little bit slower to react to what he's seeing, because I think he's not necessarily able to look at the receiver and the backfield at the quarterback at the same time. I think he hesitates because he's looking at one or the other. So that's what I'm seeing with my eyes in terms of his coverage when he's in man. Zone coverage, he seems to have a good understanding of where his threats are going to come from. He has a good understanding of you know, who his responsibility is and who he's passing them off to. So zone coverage, I don't have any issues with Kendall Victor in terms of his ability to play. I did think that we saw a little bit of his chops when he had that interception, so he was letting people know about it. So I like to see that, especially with a smaller school player going up against bigger name guys that were more highly recruited than he was, and just letting them know that, you know, I'm here and I'm going to play, and you're going to know about it. So I like seeing that. I thought generally speaking, he did well in sort of that sort of press man coverage and zone coverage. The off man, I think, needs some work. So again, he's a later round guy for me. Anywhere between sort of rounds 4 to 7, really. Again, depending upon scheme fit, some teams might sort of have him slightly higher up their boards than others. I think probably teams that play man a lot more will have him higher on their boards than teams that play zone, if I'm honest.
Yeah. And by the way, I apologize. I mispronounced his name. It's Kendall Vildor. It's our spell check machine that threw us off there. And I did talk to Kendall Vildor when I was down at the Senior Bowl. And again, apologies to you, Kendall, if you're listening. Let me play a little bit of a clip of that I produced for our YouTube channel. You can see the whole thing at Bears Barroom on our YouTube channel. Let me play some of this.
Do a self-scouting of yourself. What are your strengths and what are things that you think you need to work on for the pro level?
I'll say some of my strengths will just be able to place press man at a real technical sound level. Just be able to move my feet, stay square at the line of scrimmage. Always playing with low pad level when I'm playing off man, zone, eye, stuff like that. Things that I probably need to work on will probably just be being a more physical corner each and every single down.
Yeah, and that is something he definitely needs to work on. As he is saying that about him and needing to improve his physical, I was able to videotape a play of a receiver. I don't have his name in front of me, but just physically outmaneuvering Vildor, and so he is. He's almost the criticism that we had of Troy Pride could apply to Vildor based on the little that I've seen of him, and based on his very own comment there.
Yeah, I mean that's I think part of the difference between coming from the difference between Troy Pride and Vildor. Sorry, Bill, I think that was actually my notes that caused you the issue there, Aldo. The difference is that obviously Notre Dame's weight room and strength and conditioning coach and facilities are going to look a lot different. I think it's South Alabama, is it?
Georgia Southern.
So mm-hmm. Georgia Southern, obviously a much smaller program, and in terms of what they can devote resources-wise for these guys to be able to get, you know, their nutrition, to get their weight room, it wouldn't be at the same standard. So you would expect. But what I do see from Kendall Vildor is the want. And that's, you know, when we're talking about sort of guys that want to do it, definitely see that with him. He's not afraid of coming up and attempting to lay the wood. It's just that he didn't bring that much wood with him.
There you go.
so that was the thing for me was the, obviously if he gets into an NFL weight room, that's not going to be an issue. If he gets the sort of the nutrition and, you know, the recovery rooms and all of that sort of stuff, that's not going to be an issue for him. The difference is that he really does want to, you know, the physical part doesn't scare him despite the fact that he is a smaller guy. So that for me is actually almost a positive. Positive and a negative, if you want to call it that way. Because, like I say, he shows that the want to be able to do it, and he's not afraid of people. Certainly not afraid of, you know, big name wide receivers and coming up in playing them. And I'm pretty sure that he's someone that has enough of a chip on his shoulder that he would be one of the hardest workers that you would have, and he would appreciate whatever draft position you give him.
All right. Another small school defensive back on our list here that we're going to cover is Kyle Duggar, who comes from the Lenoir Rhyne. And Lenoir Rhyne. And he won the Cliff Harris Award, given to the nation's small college defensive player of the year. I know you didn't get an opportunity to see a lot of tape because there's not a lot of tape out there on him. Yeah. But from what you saw, tell us what you like and didn't like.
He's exactly that. Well, I mean, he's like a more refined Stephen Denmark that we got last year. Mm-hmm. You know, big, fast, can really hit. He's a more refined version of Stephen Denmark. So what he did show for me was really good footwork in being able to sort of coverage people. He's fast, he's physical, he understands his zone concept, he can carry a tight end down the field, and a lot of slot receivers, he's got enough speed to be able to cover them, but equally, he's not going to let them have a free release off the line. There's a possibility that he could be very useful in the blitz because of that speed and that suddenness that he has. So, you know, you could put him in almost, you know, that box safety, put him over the nickel and then just send him off the edge. But equally, he can sit on that slot receiver and not let them get off the line of scrimmage. So he shows some versatility for a scheme that wants to get creative in terms of pressure and coverage. He shows the versatility to be able to do that. He was at fault for not picking up a rub route, which they scored a touchdown. I think it was the Liberty wide receiver can't remember, double barrel surname. He scored a touchdown late on, and the coverage was a man coverage, and he sort of got lost him in the trash. So there is some room there for improvement, but I think he had such an impressive game in the Senior Bowl, and he's got some juice as a punt returner as well. He had 5 career punt returns for touchdown in college. So it shows he's got a lot of athleticism on returns, and you know, what is he, 6'2", 210? So he's a bigger safety stroke nickel hybrid, but that safety nickel hybrid is exactly what I think the Bears need. He would be great if we could get him. Very impressive, like I say, and you know, a year into a scheme, you could have real serious value there if you got him in, say, like the 3rd to 4th round about that sort of range. I think possibly with what he did at the Senior Bowl, he could have moved himself up into the 2nd round, which would be a little bit rich for us.
And Tooch, very active in the chat room. Glad that you're here, Tooch, helping us out.
Gandy Golden, yeah. Gandy Golden, that's the man.
That is indeed the man. He had a touchdown catch on the Senior Bowl, and it was impressive throughout the week. We talked about him on our last show. All right, anything else regarding this prospect that you want to share before we move on to Jeremy Chin?
He made himself a lot of money.
Yes, he did. Good for him. All right. Jeremy Chin wasn't really on your list so much as I kind of brought him up to you because he played at Southern Illinois University. And so I wondered if you had taken any looks at him and what your impressions were.
Yes, a similar player, to be honest. Mm-hmm. A little bit less sort of physically impressive, probably not as quick as the guy we just spoken about,
Duggar,
yeah, Carl Duggar. Mm-hmm. Probably not as athletic, but he's again very athletic. He looks a little bit more lean and wiry in his body, but he impressed me with his ability to hit, and he's very good in coverage as well. Another guy that you could have as like the box safety or nickel. Mm-hmm. For me, but he also is able to play like the deep half responsibility. So you could play him in a cover two. You could play him even potentially as the deep safety in a cover one. He shows enough range to be able to do that. I would prefer to have him closer to the line of scrimmage because he showed enough juice for me in being able to come up and hit people. I was actually quite impressed with his level of physicality coming from a smaller school. Again, quite clean footwork as well in his pass drops. He was a guy that impressed me, actually, from a smaller school. Obviously, he's a guy that, as well, being at the college that he was at, will definitely be at the Bears' local pro day.
Right.
They're going to have eyes on him, and that will be definitely a guy that we'll probably try and stash and keep under the radar. But, yeah, definitely he would be the right kind of guy for us to take a look at.
Yeah, I know Jim Nagy down at the Senior Bowl, the guy that runs that whole operation, was really high on Chin, talked him up quite a bit, 6'2", 213 pounds. He accumulated some excellent stats down at SIU. Definitely a guy to keep an eye on. He did not particularly have a great Senior Bowl game. It was just sort of okay, but throughout the week he impressed, and so let's keep an eye on him. 4-year contributor for the Salukis down there. All right.
So just to give a bit of color to that comment about the safeties and defensive backs at the Senior Bowl, I think a large part of that was because the quarterbacks didn't have time to pass.
Yeah.
So what we were seeing, particularly with the safeties, was in coverage. We didn't really see them get tested all of that much deep, because guys weren't having the time to get deep. Mm-hmm. So what we did see was, you know, where they were coming up to hit and tackle in some of the runs that were broken. We saw some of that. We saw some of their ability to drop and go into zones. A lot of the safeties didn't really show up on first blush watching the game live, but they really did show up when you looked at them, you know, going back on the footage and watching the game again.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, and a guy I know that you looked at practices the first 2 days and you liked was Terrell Burgess. Tell us about him.
He played really nice in cover one and cover two looks. I think he's even better in cover one, and he comes down and he plays man against the tight end. And he really did show some, he probably one of the more impressive tacklers on the day in the Senior Bowl as well. He came up and popped a few people when he was coming up and sort of defending the run. So he's a guy that a lot of draft nicks aren't really rating that high, but if you want someone who's just really fundamentally sound and understands their responsibilities, he's one of the guys that I think that definitely you could take a look at later on and get a really good quality safety, particularly for the type that we need. You know, that strong safety stroke nickel hybrid. He could definitely play that.
Yeah, he's from the University of Utah. I'm trying to find his...
Two good safeties from Utah, actually, to be honest. Yeah. They're both good guys. Mm-hmm. A couple of good defensive backs as well.
I'm trying to find his size, because I want to say he's 6'2", thereabouts, but I'm not finding the official size.
I'll get it for you in a second.
Yeah, and so I'll read a little bit about him. He studied kinesiology at the University of Utah. He's one of four siblings, the second to play college football in the family. And he was a former three-star recruit out of San Diego, where he received all-conference honors as both a wide receiver and a defensive back. It's always nice to see a defensive back at least have some experience at the wide receiver position. He's probably been moved to DB because of his hands, but at least he's attempted to catch a lot of passes as a wide receiver. And when he was a freshman, he split time at wide receiver and defensive back before committing full time to the DB position. That is from withthefirstpick.com. You got any other info on Burgess?
Yeah, so this surprises me because he doesn't hit like this. 5'11", 192 were his measurements at the Senior Bowl.
Okay.
So that surprises me because he's definitely a guy who likes to come down and hit people. So, I mean, he's definitely a player for me that would be able to give you a lot of that versatility. So you could line him down in the box and let him play rubber coverage. So, in other words, he bails from what looks like a blitz and drops into a zone. You could line him up against tight ends because he's physical enough. Even at 192, he shows enough physicality. And I guess there must be a lot of strength in that 192 pounds. He must be someone that works at it. That will be probably one of the knocks against him, that and whatever he runs at the combine.
Right.
That could drop him further, is the size. But definitely in terms of, you know, pound for pound hitting, he's definitely got it. I mean, he's definitely a safety that I would look at. Draft Network have got him round about sort of round 4 to round 5 range in terms of their listings. But yeah, he's definitely the right kind of fit for what we need. It does talk about struggling ball carries at times due to a lack of size and weight, basically.
Uh-huh.
But if you want a guy who plays coverage well and is fundamentally sound, I think he's it.
All right, let's move our attention now to safety from, I believe he's from Mississippi State. And
yes.
His name is Brian Cole II. What do you got on him?
He is Brian Cole II. So Brian Cole II, a little bit bigger, 6'2", 205, and he plays like it. Very athletic, a little bit more at times out of control when he comes down. So he's a little bit sometimes over-aggressive. What I saw at the Senior Bowl was nice footwork in zone coverage, not a lot of wasted movement. He's able to understand where his threats are coming through against the coverage that he's been asked to play. And therefore, because he knows where the guys are pre-snap, he's able to look a little bit longer at the quarterback. That's one of the things that we've said some of these other guys at smaller schools weren't able to do. But because he understands his coverage, where he is in the coverage, where his threats are from the alignments, where they could be coming from, he's able to get a good read early on as to whether it's run and pass. He's able to get a good read as well from the routes concepts he looks at early. He seems to be able to process it a little bit quicker, which is nice to have. He looks to have above average athleticism for the position, and he looked pretty good in nickel coverage when, you know, because they were playing cover 1, 2, or 3 at the Senior Bowl. So when they were playing cover 1 or cover 3 and he was in man, he showed some nice clean footwork, not a lot of wasted movement. Tends to run around people a little bit more than I would like. And when he tackles people, he seems to be a sort of a wrap and drag tackler rather than a hitter, mm-hmm. which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But he seems to want to sort of, you know, be able to wrap around and then try and pull at the ball, which, you know, is not necessarily a bad thing. But he's a later round guy for me, Brian Cole too. But again, from SEC standard of football, redshirt senior, he was a 4-star recruit coming out of high school.
Right.
But although some of the knocks from other draft sites say that he can't play man coverage, I think he's got enough juice to be able to do it. I certainly saw enough of that at the Senior Bowl.
The OaklandPress.com reports that he is a great athlete, but has yet to transition to the expected production on the football field. He was hurt for much of 2018, but according to this report, at least in 2019, it was a step in the right direction. He's got excellent size and speed equation. Could be a big value pick in the latter rounds. Again, that is from
six to seven, that kind of range.
There you go. All right, we still have a few more players to go over, and let's try to get those after we talk to our guest. So let me get our guest on the phone here.
So just to let everyone know, while we're dialing him up, he's actually been training for the Combine today. So he's literally come straight out of the gym, and he's going to be speaking with us live.
Very cool. This should be fun. And he is with us now, Reggie Walker. My name is Aldo Gandia, and with me is George Bayless, also known as Berlissimo. He is the host of the show, and he is dying to talk football with you. How are you, Reggie?
I'm pretty good.
Thanks very much for joining us. I know you just got off your combine workout, and so I'm just going to turn it over to George, and we're going to sit back here. We've got a bunch of live listeners, and this will be on podcast a little later this afternoon, so you can go back and listen to it if you'd like. I'm going to turn it over to George, and you two guys talk football. Yes,
sir. Pleased to talk to you, Reggie. Glad to have you on, a former teammate of Duke Shelley at Kansas State, and hopefully a future teammate too on the Chicago Bears, if we're lucky enough to be able to get you. 18 career sacks with Kansas State, and you even got a yes from your fiance on senior day. So there is not much that you can't do, it seems, on a football field, even getting engaged on there. 6'2", 250 pounds, a quarterback-eating man machine, Hula Bowl defensive MVP for 2020, and future Chicago Bears left outside linebacker, the one, the only, Reggie Walker. Pleased to talk to you, Reggie. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, man. You know, just glad to be on the phone with you guys.
Yeah, we're loving having you on. I've actually had a look at some of your huddle tape from Ponchatoula Green Wave. You had an 11-2 season, I believe, there in your final season. You wore 91 in high school. You wore 51 in college. Which number do you prefer?
51 by far. 51. I used to wear that actually my junior year. Well, actually my freshman through junior year in high school. Then I moved in 91. I thought I was going to play a little tight end. But I really prefer 51.
You might have to move to a different number because 51, I think, has been retired for Dick Butkus, so he's a former Chicago Bears linebacker.
Yeah,
I don't know if you recognize that name, but if
I do.
Yeah, if you can move to a number and be half the player that he was, we'll be really lucky to have you. So I've been looking at your tape at Kansas State, and obviously as a freshman, you had a real major impact on the field. One of the better freshman seasons for, I believe, any outside linebacker stroke defensive end in Kansas State history, and you were a notable member. Mention in your freshman year, also great production in your junior year, but your sophomore and senior years had a slight dip in production. Can you explain to us why that was in terms of the drop off in the number of sacks?
Yes, sir. I had a real bad high ankle sprain in the beginning of camp my senior year. I was going to actually have the surgery, but I didn't want to have the surgery. You know, the team looked up. I was a captain, so the team really looked up to me. So I just really wanted to get out there with my boys. So I really try to rehab as much as I can and get out there. And I do what I can do, you know, just to bring that positive energy to the team.
Yeah, well, you certainly were able to make an impact. He still registered quite well, I believe, in tackles for loss, five of those on your season. What I like about you, Reggie, in terms of the way you play, is fundamentally sound. Your responsibilities, it looks like you really understand when you're doing a speed option what your responsibility is, scraping down the line of scrimmage, staying nice and square. I really like when you're rushing from a two-point stance, your ability to sort of dip and get around the edge, either use an arm under or to swat the hands down on the outside. And you got some really good production from that, and yeah, particularly big games against Baylor, Texas Tech, Mississippi State. What's it like sort of following your brother? I believe your brother went to Mississippi State, is that right?
Yep, my brother did go to Mississippi State. It was really fun to play Mississippi State because, he's about that SEC country and, going to Mississippi State, but he always wanted the best for me, so it was always good, you know, to play them boys.
That's great news. And Oklahoma, you've had some good success with, and obviously in terms of the guys that you're going up against with those teams, a lot of household names, a lot of players that are in the NFL, and you showed up against these teams really, really well. What would you say is your best ability in terms of what you bring to the football field?
My best ability is really just rushing that quarterback, that edge rush, man. You know, that's what I grew up on. That's what I really try to perfect, you know, best as I can. And I feel like that's that's my bread and butter right there.
I love the way you get a get off when you're in a 2-point stance. Do you prefer being in a 2-point stance to a 3-point? Because obviously that would fit in with what the Chicago Bears do. I think at 6'2", 250, possibly a little bit undersized to be a 4-3 end in the NFL. But I do love you as a 2-point linebacker, a 2-point outside linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
And you showed the ability as well to be able to drop and do the short flat zone coverage as well. So is that something that sounds like it'd be attractive being opposite Khalil Mack?
Oh, yes, sir. Yep, that's what I'm actually looking forward to. You know, as long as I can rush that passer and, drop to the flat, cover running back every now and then, you know, as long as I'm getting after that passer, I feel I can do anything.
Well, if you land on the Bears and you're able to get Aaron Rodgers down, you'll become a cult hero instantly. What got you into football as a child?
I grew up in it, man. My family's a really big sports, you know, all the way down to my cousin, my sister, my brother, like everybody in my family actually, you know, just played sports. So I actually just grew up in it. And baseball actually was my first love, man. You know, I was a really good baseball player growing up. But now just the game of football just, you know, it just took me over about like junior high, you know, like, man, I fell in love with it like no other.
Oh, it certainly looks like physicality is a big part of your game as well. Is that something you enjoy on the football field, is being able to mix it with the big boys and to be able to lay a hit on someone?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, I love defense, man. You know, just to tackle somebody, you know, it feels good. So, I mean, it's just, man, it's amazing, you know, defensive players, you know, especially like the position I'm at. You know, it's just the things I can do to change the game at my position is just something that, you know, I always love.
Well, certainly your ability to force fumbles and your ability to recover those fumbles as well, sort of swipe the ball out of the quarterback's hand, that's been impressive in your collegiate history. What are you hoping to run in terms of 40-time short shuttles and three-cone?
Here I'm working out at Exos in Pensacola, man. I'm getting a lot of good work in. Hopefully I can hit that 4.6 in my 40-time. And we actually just worked on some 5.10.5. I'm trying to bring in a low 4.3. And I haven't did the Eldra yet here, but those two we've been working on a lot. So I'm really excited for Pro Day.
That's something that I've watching your tape, it looks like you'll transition well to that for me, because there's no wasted movement on your footwork that I see when I'm watching you rush from the edge. And that's something I think that is a strength of yours, is your ability to change direction quickly, given your size. You played Baylor. What was it like to try and tackle Jamarcus Hasty out of the backfield?
It was actually really good, man. By far, I feel like Baylor this year is probably the best team we played, and they gave us a really good game, and it was really just – I really enjoyed playing them because they gave us a good game.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the games you had better production in, that you did well. Who is the best defensive tackle that you would say you played against in your collegiate history?
Actually, I could say probably Cody Whitehair. He was there. He was actually at K-State my freshman year, and to this day, he's probably the best tackle I've went against since I've been a collegiate.
Well, the good news is if you do come to the Bears, you won't have to rush against him because he's playing center and guard now. So that'll be at least one positive thing for you. So presumably, you possibly know Cody, and you certainly would have thought no Duke Shelley. What can you tell us about your experience with those two guys?
I know Cody, but I don't know him as well. He was just there my freshman year. He was a big lead on the team. But me and Duke Shelley, we know each other really well. We're actually pretty good friends. We always, you know, talk to each other. Even like a couple of days ago, you know, we just called each other up just to say what's up, you know, see how he's doing. That's my boy, you know. We always just try to stay in touch.
That's interesting to hear, because, I mean, he was a player that when I saw him at Kansas State, looked like he was sort of a big man in a small body in terms of his ability. He certainly seems to relish physicality, given his size. And that's something I think that comes across in K-State players, just generally speaking. What would be the biggest lesson that you learned from playing college football?
Oh, man, take all the coaching you can and, you know, just tie it into what you do best. You know, don't ever just, you know, like, try to wave somebody off, you know. If somebody got something to say, you know, listen and learn. You know, I feel like that's the best way for me, you know. I'm not a big rah-rah guy, but, you know, if you sit there and talk, you know, I'm definitely going to listen and try to apply everything you say to the field and make sure I get the best production out of me and that you would like.
I don't know whether you managed to see much of the Chicago Bears in the previous season. Obviously, we had a bit of a down year, but definitely defense and a bit of swagger is something the team has. They've got club dub, and certainly any interception, any large sack gets celebrated with gusto on the team. So you're going to have your sack dances ready and your end zone celebrations. Definitely going to have that ready for when you get to the NFL. In terms of you as a person, Reggie, if you don't mind me asking, are there any sort of social causes? Because the Bears Barroom, we present on almost a weekly basis something called the Badge of Honour, which is a ball which is made out for social causes that players contribute to and make a difference. Is there anything that's really dear to your heart?
Actually, one of my little nephews has like Down syndrome, and you know, I always try to give back much as I can to those type of kids, man. You know, just even like just going to see them, you know, just spending some time with them and stuff like that. I always try to give back like that from my community because he actually lives down there.
That's wonderful that you're able to do that. It's something that is dear to my heart as well. Autism is one of the things that I'm particularly interested in, and Down syndrome very often comes with autism. So it's interesting to hear that that's a cause that you're interested in being able to give back to. So what's one thing that we need to know about you that we don't know at the moment?
Oh, man, you know, I'm you know, ready to play on any and every team. You know, hopefully the Bears man pick me up and I just get to work and show you guys, you know, what I got.
Well, I've absolutely no doubts. Like I say, from the tape that I've watched, and I implore all of our listeners to go and watch your tape. Certainly, there's enough games out there for people to be able to search your name with verses, and they'll be able to see what you bring. Because for me, when I'm watching you play, Reggie, and if you don't mind me saying, and maybe talking you up a little bit, I see someone who's fundamentally sound. I see that your responsibility sound, so you obviously know what your role is in the defense and you do your job. I also see a lot of production in terms of going off the edge and producing there. Have you had any evaluations as to where you might go in the draft, whether you're going to be is it important to you to get drafted, or is it a case that you just get an opportunity and then you show from there, you know, you're the hardest worker and you're going to do everything you can to contribute to a team?
Oh, yeah, man, you know, I really hope I get drafted, but it don't matter, you know, like you said, where I land, you know, I'm going to show, you know, the team that what they're getting and like the type of player I am, and I'm just going to go all out and show them, you know, that I am a great player and you guys going to, you know, be well represented if, you know, have me on your team.
So what I'd like to do at this stage is if I could just hand over to Aldo. Aldo, do you have any questions for OG, or is there anything from our chat room? Because this is actually a live chat that's going out over the Bears Barroom Network, Reggie, and we might have some questions from our chat room, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Reggie. I appreciate that. My first question is, you were MVP over at the Hula Bowl. Can you tell us what you did at that game that you're especially proud of that helped you earn those MVP honors?
Oh, man, I just went out there every day for practice, man. You know, like I was actually healthy, you know, like that was my first time actually being healthy, I felt like, all year. And that's just, you know, when I'm healthy, you know, I could be a really dangerous person, you know, coming off the edge. And it just felt really good to, you know, be able to do what I can do, you know, how I can do it. And man, it was a blast. You know, I thank God for the abilities and just having me healthy in that time of moment.
Excellent. Grant Sims in the chat room wants to know, when you are need a quick bite to eat, where do you go? Do you go to Chipotle? Do you go to McDonald's? What is it? What kind of that go-to food?
Man, I'm a big Chick-fil-A person, man. I love Chick-fil-A. I just can't get enough of it. If I have to go out, man, I'm going to Chick-fil-A.
I love it. I love it.
just as a follow-up, Reggie, in terms of pizza, and this is a bone of contention in Chicago, deep dish or tavern style?
Oh, man, to be honest, I never had deep dish, know about the deep dish, to be honest, yeah. So, I mean, if I do go up there, man, I love to have some deep dish pizza, man, especially I heard a couple guys actually here working out, you know, up there. They've been in Chicago, and we was actually having a conversation about pizza like a couple of days ago. And I was like, man, I never had deep dish. And they all just was looking at me.
Yeah, I mean, that's you've definitely got a bit of a – there's a three really good deep dish places in Chicago, yes. I believe.
Yeah, so Reggie, when you get up to Chicago, I want to personally take you out for some deep dish pizza and just get you stuffed up with some of the best pizza in the world. We got another question here from our man Johnny Santucci. He says, Tucci is asking, do you watch and study any current NFL pass
rushers, and how would you like to play like a Khalil Mack?
I actually do study Khalil Mack a lot. I try to study him, Justin Ford, he played for the Saints, Will Smith. I still study those guys, you know, so much, and I really feel like I can tie into a lot of those type of guys.
Excellent. And then our last question here is, in terms of music, what is it that you like to put on the headsets to get you pumped up for a game or even after a game to help you come back down after a grueling practice or a game?
Before a game, man, I'm a big Louisiana person, man. I love Lil Wayne and Kevin Gates and those type of guys,
sure.
Especially before a game. You know, those guys always get me hyped up. And after a game, I'm coming down. I really don't know. I just, you know, just pick whatever is on. Probably those same guys, you know, just something different.
There you go. Well, let's keep in touch, Reggie. When you're in Chicago, it's pizza time and it's on me. Okay, brother?
Yes, sir.
Reggie, I really hope Chicago Bears are fortunate enough and we're able to pick you up when it comes to the draft. And irrespective, I just wish you all the success in the future with whichever team you manage to get an opportunity with, and that you make the most of it, and that your future with Calista is a bright and happy one. So on behalf of all of Bears Barroom, I'd just like to wish you every success on your pro day going into the future. And I'm hoping the Bears get you, because like Lauder says, it'd be great to have you in the city, particularly with the guys that we've already got on the team. I really do think you would have an opportunity to not only play for the Bears, but you'd potentially be able to get on the field early and to make a real contribution. So thanks very, very much for your time, Reggie. I've really enjoyed speaking with you. I'm hoping Ryan Pace is listening. So if you've got 30 seconds to do an elevator pitch for Ryan Pace, why he should take you, what would it be?
Man, you know, I'm a real good kid. You know, like you said, I do what I'm supposed to do. You know, if you guys get me, I'll be that type of person that you need me to be. And just know my role on the team and get after that quarterback.
There you go.
Thanks. Nice. Thanks so much, Reggie. You've been a great interview. And like I say, I wish you every success in the future. Please keep in touch.
Yes, sir. Will do.
Take care, Reggie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was fun. Let's now quickly return to our list of Senior Bowl players. I think we've got two more defensive backs to go over, George. Take it away. I believe it's the kid from Alabama you want to talk about next.
Yeah, Jared Maiden. He played the high safety when Duggar was on the field. So when they were playing the cover one looks or cover three looks, he was the deep safety. And I thought he had a very good game. Mm-hmm. I was surprised because at Alabama, there wasn't really that much production. He doesn't really jump out on tape. But, I mean, obviously, when you're on a team of superstars, you're not necessarily going to show up every single play.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe I've been kind of... taken in by that and sort of missed him in terms of his ability to play. Just going to find his size for you. But he was really fast. I mean, his speed as a deep safety really showed up. But what I liked about him was, again, the ability, 6 foot, 201 pounds. Just really sound. I should expect with Alabama and with them having a defensive coach, just everything really solid and tight and good, you know, good footwork, able to play man, able to play zone. It was interesting because I didn't really see him as a deep safety, but mm-hmm. that's where he was playing in the Senior Bowl.
Right.
I see him as a nickel strong safety type, but he showed loads of speed and understanding to be able to play that single high safety if needed, and he had good field vision. He almost had a pick six on one of the sub routes, so they were basically throwing like the slot, and he almost baited as a safety. He kind of sat waiting for the throw to come, knowing he had enough closing speed to be able to go and take it. He got his hands on it, and he was on his feet, and he was able to take it. We just couldn't quite secure the ball. But, I mean, if he'd have taken that, that would have been a pick six. I think it might have been Shea Patterson that he took the ball from. And he was playing slot corner on that time as well. So
yes.
He basically draited. He dropped. He baited the throw. So he was giving a, you know, like a off-man kind of look in terms of coverage. Slot receiver against the safety, you would think that you would have that open as a quarterback, through to the flat, and he literally undercut the route and he could have gone for six. But like I say, that's what I thought I saw from him. Round about round four or five kind of range, but really solid. And, you know, it wouldn't necessarily hurt to have another Alabama safety given the quality of the one that we've got so far.
I was able to stick my microphone into the media scrum and inches away from his face to get the soundbite of him talking about what he needs to work on. This is Jared Mading of Alabama.
Some of the feedback I've gotten is just, you know, some of the same stuff Coach Saban used to tell me, you know, at safety, being able to get guys on the ground. You know, I worked at it, I got better at it, but that's something that the NFL is real different. You got to tackle like Derrick Henry or fast guys like Tyreek Hill. So, I mean, that's something I can keep improving on. And also, my versatility. You know, teams do feel like they could see me playing safety, star, corner, slot corner. So, you know, that's something I want to go out here and show for them over this week.
Very honest analysis there. He needs to work on his tackling and wanted to kind of prove to scouts during the week that he's got those versatile skills that you just talked about, George.
Yeah, well, I think he showed that at the Senior Bowl. I mean, he showed the ability to play out to play man. He showed the ability to be able to play zone. I thought, on the whole, his tackling was sound. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing certainly that was alarming. But in terms of covering Tariq Hill, well, good luck for that, because the rest of the NFL haven't been able to do it so far. But yeah, I mean, I admire his ambition if that's the bar that he's setting in terms of guys he needs to be able to cover. And he's right, you know, you are going to have to be able to cover those guys. The kind of guys that can run that fast, though, are not that difficult to bring down if you get your hands on them. But like I say, I mean, I was just impressed with everything that he did, and you'd expect that, obviously, from a program like Alabama, and with them having a defensive coach.
All right,
he was certainly sufficiently impressive.
Our next player is somebody that the Tooch has already revealed in the chat room you are in love with, and that is Antoine Brooks Jr. Tell us, how deep is that love for you?
Oh, it's deep. It's almost unhealthy. Yeah, so he's a guy that so obviously we've got a bit of inside knowledge at the bar room in terms of Maryland players. Mm-hmm. And he's I'm pretty sure that Josh Woods has mentioned him previously. 5'11 and 213 pounds, but he's built like a bowling ball. Mm-hmm. And he is really just impressive with his physicality that at 5'11, 213 he's able to do. What impressed me actually at the Senior Bowl wasn't that, because I was expecting to be able to come up and hit people. They played him as a single high safety quite a few times in those coverage looks. Mm-hmm. In cover one and cover three. It was surprising to see him as the one high safety. And I'm guessing that Cincinnati did that to see how he looks in deep field coverage, which isn't necessarily his forte. But then after a couple of snaps playing that, they had him as a linebacker.
Yeah.
Which you know, the weak side linebacker. Mm-hmm. Which may suggest they already know that he's good near the line of scrimmage. Now, obviously, they couldn't run blitzes with him, but that is a strength of his, is to be able to blitz and hit people, tackle for losses. He's just an absolute monster. Mm-hmm. I love the way the guy plays. He's just he's a linebacker in a defensive back's body at the end of the day. He's got more than sufficient athleticism for me. It's going to be interesting to see how he runs, because as a shorter guy, he's probably not going to have the elite speed timing. Mm-hmm. But he's certainly fast enough. The way he closes is like a missile. You just see him home in on the target, and he just comes and doesn't slow down when he's attacking people. So, yeah, great tackler in the open field, which he displayed against Joshua Kelly on one of the long runs. He was the guy that brought him down. And Joshua Kelly is obviously one of the faster players at the Senior Bowl, certainly from the footage that we saw. So for him to be able to chase him down in the open field and secure the tackle was impressive. He can play the two high safety with ease. He wasn't able to show off, like I say, his abilities near the line of scrimmage, because they weren't allowed to blitz. So when he was playing linebacker, he was literally just sitting as a linebacker almost, despite the fact of being, you know, 5'11", 213. But he's a player that is climbing draft boards, I'm afraid. I mean, he's a guy that wasn't heralded before the Senior Bowl. But again, if we're looking to get a safety, he could be pushing himself out of our range again, I fear. So let's hope he has a bad stumble at the starting 40 and that the Bears love it. No, I don't mean that.
Of course not.
If listening, Antoine, I hope you run a 4-4.
Absolutely.
You know, and you get all the money you can, but I would love to have him on the Bears. I really would, as that type of safety that we need to complement Eddie. It'd be perfect.
Let me ask you this, because I'm looking at a picture of him now, and this guy is cut. Like, he is be on the cover of Muscle Fitness magazine. And, you know, at first blush, he kind of reminds me a little bit of the kid the Lions drafted, Miles Killebrew. You know Killebrew. Can you do a comparison of those two players? Big, you know, really strong players who are that play that kind of safety linebacker hybrid position.
So the guy that I actually see Antoine Brooks Jr. being is a potential ceiling, and this is a really high one. Okay. It's Brian Dawkins.
Oh, nice. like that. I like that ceiling. I like it a lot more than Killebrew, who has not had a great NFL career, although serviceable in some respects, but not nearly at the Dawkins level for sure.
Yeah, I mean, so the Dawkins, is that what I'm talking about, is that dog mentality?
Yep.
The defensive back, you know, to be able to come up and physically impose and intimidate tight ends when he's hitting them. He's got that. He has an understanding of his coverage responsibilities. He's always seemed to be motivating people around him. So, yeah, he might not necessarily be that player now, but he's got a lot of those same traits and abilities that Brian Dawkins had. Whether he's as good a motivator as Brian Dawkins remains to be seen. Well, I mean, it's going to be something that we'll only see when he gets to the NFL. But he has the potential to be whatever he wants to be, as far as I'm concerned, based upon what I've seen. Again, and it's where you're going to have to put him, where he's going to be in a position to excel. So as that box safety, that nickel corner, that piece, that weapon that he can move and blitz off the edge, he's all of those things for me. And that's what we saw, you know, from Dawkins in his long, illustrious career. I only hope that he has, you know, the same sort of injury record that Brian Dawkins has in terms of ability to stay healthy, and that he's, you know, even half the player that he is. But certainly in terms of abilities and that sort of mentality, that's who he reminds me of in terms of just purely from a makeup point of view. That's the guy who I would sort of say he's most similar to.
I want to close the show by asking you, we talked about a number of Senior Bowl players who caught your eye for one reason or another. Those guys, over the last two shows, we've talked about Anthony Gordon, LaMichael Perine, Anthony Gibson, Joshua Kelly, Darius Anderson, LaMichael Hardy, all those guys except for Gordon, of course, are running backs. Wide receivers, Denzel Mims, KJ Hill, Van Jefferson, Benjamin Victor, tight ends, Bryson Hopkins, Harrison Bryant, Jarrett Pinkey, Adam Troutman, Joshua DeGuerra, and over at the offensive line, Josh Jones, who looks to be a first-round draft pick, so if we're going to acquire somebody like that, we might have to move up. Matthew Peart, Hakeem Adeniji, Alex Taylor, Calvin Throckmorton. I don't think you're going to pick Calvin based on something I read that you wrote on Twitter today, but that's a different story.
He's played himself out of contention, I'm afraid.
He's not one of your favorites. Interior offensive lineman Lloyd Cushenberry III, Damian Lewis, Ben Bredesen, Michael Onwenu, I think it's the pronunciation, at the edge, Terrell Lewis, Jonathan Gennard, Joshua Uche, Bradley Anae, Zach Brown, Cameron Brown, and in the defensive back position, Troy Pride Jr., Kendall Vildor, Kyle Duggar, Jeremy Chin, Terrell Burgess, Brian Cole II, Jared Maiden, Antoine Brooks Jr. I think those are all the players we covered. I may have left out a name or two, but I'd like for you to kind of, you know, pick at least one guy and two or three, if you'd like, of guys. Boy, you know, given the resources that we currently have in the draft, here are guys I would love for Ryan Pace to truly target and do the best that he can to acquire.
Yeah, so just to rattle off the names, because we did a bit of a phone book there, haven't we? We really have covered a lot of ground, haven't we, over episodes 2, 3, and 4. Bryson Hopkins, obviously, tight end, is a guy I would love to have, but equally the lesser known kid Harrison Bryant out of FAU looked really good as well for me. Even the kid from the smaller school, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he looked like a really good tight end as well. So those are the tight ends that I look at and I think are really good. Kendall Coleman really impressed me at the edge. Joshua Uche was certainly, if we can get him with a second round pick, he would fly and get a lot of sacks, I believe, for us in the responsibilities he would need to play, and it would free up a lot of cap space as well in terms of being able to release Floyd. People like Antoine Brooks Jr., you know that I absolutely love. Antonio Gibson is almost as much of a love for me in terms of what he would be able to offer our offense. So those two guys on the defensive secondary and running back stroke wide receiver stroke threat guys are all guys that I would really love to have. And then lastly but not least is quarterback Anthony Gordon. Proved to me that even at a second round pick potentially, he would have sufficient upside for us to be able to sort of take that pick and have conviction that we'd be getting a guy who, you know, if you put a little bit of meat on his bones, could really be a value pick, even as high as that potentially. Hopefully, you know, he runs a bad 40, has a bad combine, whatever, and we can get him with a fifth round pick. But I can't see that. No. I can't see that happening. No. So it's Adam Troutman was the other tight end that I was talking about. So Troutman was a guy that impressed me. There's a couple of cornerbacks as well that have been impressive, but not so much at the Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. And offensive tackles, there was a guy that was listed to go to the Senior Bowl, but was injured, I believe, which is Tega Manogo. He would be a good guy for us to be able to get. But Josh Jones was impressive. Matt Pert was impressive. Either of those guys, again, on the offensive tackle would be good pickups for us at the Bears. So those are the guys that impressed.
I love those responses. And I want to officially go on record here on February 4th, 2020, that I am officially changing my allegiance for quarterbacks the Bears should acquire from Jalen Hurts, who I still think will have a good NFL career, depending on the team that drafts him and develops him. But I'm officially changing my best choice, my top choice, to Anthony Gordon. I've seen enough to think that this guy has the capabilities of becoming the next Patrick Mahomes type of player. And what I mean by that is just a guy that creates, a guy that does special things on a football field. And it's not going to happen right away with him like it happened with Patrick Mahomes. And we have to remember, Mahomes did sit that first season, and I really do think that aided his development dramatically, because he had a starting quarterback with the Kansas City Chiefs, Alex Smith, who was the perfect mentor type in terms of what he was doing on the field and how he studied tape and so forth. That helped Mahomes' development. And Gordon, you know, arguably would not have that here, or maybe he would with in Mitchell Trubisky or some other veteran the Bears picked up. But I do think that Gordon has a hell of a future in the NFL, and Alex Acevedo and I are deeply in love with Anthony Gordon. I think we could add you in and call it an official threesome.
I'm down for whatever all day, as long as we can get Antonio Gibson and Antoine Brooks Jr. That's let's make it a fivesome.
Okay, excellent. This has been fun. George, I can't wait till next week's show. Just talking football with you for over an hour. I maybe we'll have a special guest. I know you've been talking to a lot of players offline. Hopefully we can line it up. And why don't you sign off this episode? What is it, number 3 or number 4?
I'm hoping everyone's enjoyed it so far. I mean, I've had an absolute blast speaking with everyone. Give Reggie Walker a follow if you can on Twitter, but certainly have a look at his tape. He's a great kid, and he's going to be a contributor, I'm sure, wherever he goes in the NFL. And I want to thank him for his time today. Hopefully we get more people down the line. Just thanks for bearing with us and having a listen. It seems like I've done not too bad a job in terms of identifying people pre-Senior Bowl and post-Senior Bowl. It's shown that they've been pretty good. So let's get on with the draft, and we'll look at some of the juniors and things like that in the future, and we'll get on to more serious sort of, you know, potential draft scenarios that we might get with the Bears and what kind of guys that we could go for. And until then, you know, whatever you're doing, be kind to each other, be patient with each other, and as always, bear down.